we're now going to move on to the question and answer portion of our webinar. If you have a question, please type it into the chat box, or if you would like to ask it over the phone, please press star 1 on your touch tone keypad, and that will put you in the queue to have your phone line unmuted. Ryan, would you like to read some of the questions?
Sure. So we have a couple questions here on the nationally significant freight and highway projects program, so I'll start with those. Wendy asks, are corridor projects eligible over the $100 million threshold, i.e. neighboring grade separations along the same rail corridor?
Thanks for your question, Wendy. I think that I'll provide a general response now, but I think that we really, when it comes to specific eligibility and questions regarding the new nationally significant freight and highway projects program, we want to hold off until the notice of funding opportunity is published, which should be by the end of the month, so that we're able to, you can see kind of exactly what the language is, and we want to avoid as much confusion as possible. But in general, there's kind of a couple of ways to determine the minimum project size for this new program. It's $100 million, or if your state apportionment is less than that, the 30% of your state's apportionment for fiscal year 15. And if the project is located in more than one state, there's a way of calculating it based on the state's apportionment. But I know that that's really confusing, so I would encourage you to wait until the notice of funding is released. We're going to be putting up frequently asked questions. We'll have charts in the notice that very clearly spell out exactly what the project minimum size requirements are. And in general, yes, corridor projects will be eligible as long as they're combined meet the minimum size threshold.
Another question we got related to that program, projects that cross borders of multiple states, can multiple states join together to apply, or can only one state submit an application?
So I think the answer to that is only one. There's only one applicant, but that applicant can be supported by other bodies. So if, for example, if you want to do a crossing between Washington State and Oregon, you know, either state could submit the application, and that application could be supported by the other state as well as by, you know, other local governments that are part of that state.
We got a question earlier about working with our federal partners, the EPA, Department of Energy, Department of Commerce. Has DOT looked at combining resources with these other agencies to address multiple concerns along corridors? An example provided, taking funds off the top before allocations to states to address issues of national importance along critical and economic and transportation corridors?
To an extent. I mean, oftentimes there are sort of statutory constraints on how each agency or each department can allocate its funding. You know, we have seen, I think, through this process that there are always going to be opportunities to pursue collaboration. And I think we're certainly seeing a lot of that, especially in the workforce side with like DOL and Department of Transportation on skill training. But in terms of like investment in specific corridors, not a whole lot yet, though I think that's certainly an exciting area that we could certainly pursue. And maybe there's an opportunity to kind of talk further about what some opportunities would be.
We got a question here from about how will the National Multimodal Freight Network impact the ability to spend funds, since the FAST Act current language specifies only the primary highway freight network and the rural and urban critical corridors?
So I think the multimodal network, I think what that will do is it presents the public where we feel like we need to be spending our attention, essentially. You know, we're always going to be resource constrained, not just in terms of dollars, but also just in terms of human resources. And so, you know, what we're trying to lay out is like, this is where we think that, you know, if we have a choice between something that's on the multimodal network versus something that's not, we're going to be spending our time and attention on what's on the multimodal network.
Caitlin, we have a couple of questions about the critical urban freight corridor, so I'll turn to you for those. So for MPOs under 500,000 people, the states are supposed to consult with the MPO. For MPOs of over 500,000 people, the MPO is supposed to consult with the state. The question is, who's in charge of the state's mileage limit? And then a secondary question to that is, what do you anticipate the final certification process with USDOT to look like? And will someone independently verify the statewide mileage limitation?
Okay, well, the mileage limitation is with respect to the greater than or less than 2% of the network, and that will be, we'll put out a table that will let people know if they're considered a small mileage state or a large mileage state. But that's, but it's actually the size of the MPO, not the mileage, that relates to the critical urban and critical rural freight corridor designation. We will also be preparing guidance on critical urban and critical rural later this spring.
We got a question earlier, John, about the energy production areas and whether those will be eliminated under the final National Freight Fleet Plan and the FAST Act.
Yeah, I think so. You know, I think we discussed it a certain amount in the draft plan, but I think there is a much clearer emphasis on the movement of energy products as part of the freight policy in the FAST Act. And so I would expect that there will probably be a deeper and lengthier conversation on energy movements in the final plan.
And sure, we got a question about the nationally significant freight and highway projects. Once we release the notice of funding opportunity in the next few weeks, how much time will applicants have to submit grant applications?
That'll be spelled out specifically in the notice of funding, but it's not going to be a super long time. We're somewhat limited because we do have to get the dollars spent this year, and we do have a requirement to notify Congress 60 days before the projects are awarded. So because of that, we're operating against some pretty significant time constraints. So we're working day and night to get this notice out as fast as possible. And we sent out a letter, the secretary sent out a letter last week kind of outlining his vision for the program. And so hopefully stakeholders are starting to identify projects and will be able to turn around applications soon after the notice gets published.
We have one other question about the National Highway Freight Program. For the 10% of money that's apportioned that is flexible funding for rail, ports, or intermodal projects, would the environmental documents be done by the Federal Highway Administration, or would the funds flex to, say, FRA, for example?
For the 1116 formula program, those projects have to follow Title 23, so you're looking at following the federal highway regulations on NEPA, Buy America, and so forth. Also, I want to correct something I said earlier about the critical urban and critical rural. Now that I've read the question more closely, I see that they're asking about the mileage cap on those designations. And the guidance that we'll put out will go into more detail about the process for receiving those and the verification process. So I don't have more details on it, but I didn't want to dismiss the question completely. So we will address that in later guidance.
And I also wanted to clarify, there's a lot of questions here specific to the new nationally significant freight and highway projects program. Once the notice is released, we're going to be holding a number, at least four different webinars specific to that program, and we'll be able to answer all of your questions about the program and your projects in the course of those webinars, as well as kind of if you have questions, we can respond via email. Those will be posted once the notice of funding is released.
I'd like to go to the phone line just for a second. I believe Ann Snyder has a question or a comment for us.
I think she hung up. I think she disconnected. Ann, if you would like to press star 1 again to be put back in the queue, and we'll go on to some more questions on the chat in the meantime. Ryan, do we have any more questions in the chat?
looking to see, there are a lot of questions that came in. I just want to make sure we got all of them.
Oh, we do have, I believe we have Anne back. Ashley, if you could please open up Anne's phone line. Anne, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. I'm sorry, I'm traveling and I lost you. A quick question. Will financing through the RIF or TIFIA program, will that be able to account as non-federal share in applying for the new freight discretionary program?
And I think that that's one of those questions that because of the way that the federal share works for this program, it's different from other discretionary grant programs. And I want to hold off answering until we have the notices out and we can point to exactly how we're going to be counting other federal programs as a cost share.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Anne. And to the folks around the table, do we have any more questions or comments?
We can pause for a minute or two since we still have plenty of time to give people opportunity to type in because there are some people typing in, as well as press star one on your touch tone keypad if you'd like to ask a question over the phone.
So this is Caitlin. There's a question here from Sarah about critical urban freight corridors. Are they per urban area or total per state? If that is by state, that is that amount, the cap set by statute is by state. So yes, I recognize in some states that's not a lot of mileage, but that's the amount given to the entire state.
We're on mute for a second. How long do you want to wait before we close out? There's the moment, not anybody to have any hand, but we can give another minute or two. Or
there are a lot of questions in the questions for presenters up here we haven't talked about.
Have they all been answered?
I've grayed out most of the ones that we've answered.
Let me cover the upcoming papers.
Okay.
This is Caitlin. We're looking through to see if there are any final questions that we missed. In most cases, these are going to be addressed in upcoming guidance, which will be forthcoming over the weeks and months ahead. So we hope to be able to answer all of your questions in due time. If you didn't get your question answered, there will be many other opportunities. The next opportunity to have conversations about the freight provisions will be next Monday, the 28th. The 29th. It's one of those leap years. And we had in the chat pod, I think someone had said Wednesday, but Monday, the 29th of February, there will be a freight summit to which you can participate either in person or online, and you have to register for it, so we encourage everyone to register in advance so we know how many lines to make available. There are, where do they register for it, Shira? Is it on?
It is a SurveyMonkey link. It was on the slide previously, but I'll give it to you right now. It is surveymonkey.com/r/2016 freight summit.
We'll get that published for you, as well as I believe you can find it on our website. So we look forward to your participation in that freight summit. That will be followed by a series of webinars, both through the Talking Freight Forum here at Federal Highway and also more generically OST-led ones like this one as we release various guidance and want to make ourselves available to you for detailed questions. In addition, the Federal Highway Administrator, Greg Nadeau, is conducting roundtables across the country. These are listening sessions to hear from a variety of stakeholders as to their concerns and questions and opportunities for the future as they relate to the National Freight Strategic Plan and also freight in the economy. So look for those to be happening hopefully in a city near you. We will be providing materials on the web following those roundtables so that people can see the kinds of information that was prepared, such as handouts on the freight and economy statistics of that city, and there's some good state-level information as well. You may want to refer to those if you're doing multi-state or corridor planning, so you can see some of the critical facts related to larger cities in your area. And we look forward to your ongoing participation in our regular Talking Freight series. So one way or another, we will be able to provide ongoing and future information on the FAST Act provisions and the National Freight Strategic Plan.
Reggie, we just got several comments about the Freight Summit on the 29th. Mm-hmm. First, what is the purpose of the Freight Summit?
So what we would like to do, since there's so much energy and excitement around what's going on the freight agenda here at USDOT, this is a chance for anyone who's interested, from state DOT officials to MPOs to just users of the freight transportation system, to come in and to learn about the National Freight Strategic Plan and to learn more about freight provisions in the FAST Act, and to do a deeper dive on some of the insights and thoughts and issues that we discussed today during this webinar.
We also expect to have the NOFA out for the Highway Freight Program, so we'll have an opportunity to discuss more fully kind of what that means to help answer questions for folks interested in applying the program.
Do we have an agenda yet for that, public, that we can share with the public, or when can we expect to share an agenda?
For everyone who's registered, an agenda would be coming shortly.
There is a question about whether there will be further details on the 41,000 mile highway network. Yes, that definitely will be clarified in future materials. I think it's important to note that is actually the same network as what we used to call the comprehensive primary freight network. So if you were familiar with the map that we released in 2013, which has been on our website at Federal Highway, it is the purple and orange map. It's 41,518 miles. That is the network that Congress designated to be the primary highway freight system, which is the applicable network for the new formula program. And so there were shape files provided for the primary freight network, but this is a bigger network of 41,518. We are refining those files and updating them to reflect that they are the primary highway freight system. Those will be posted on the website when we release the guidance for the 1116 program. But if you're interested in what the map looked like, the map is what we used to call the comprehensive primary freight network.
We had a question from Sean earlier. We apologize again for missing it, but it was specific about the National Freight Strategic Plan Appendix B, the performance outcomes and measures. The question asked about whether there would be further discussion regarding the intent, about how these were developed and how they would be useful.
This is Eric Gabler. The idea of the performance measures in the national policy goals was to give the nation some way of telling if we're making progress or not, where it's accomplishing the goals, which at this time were for the MAP 21 national freight policy. We tried to select performance measures that we could, at the DOT level, collect and process without imposing additional reporting burdens on the states. So we tried to pick these measures that, for instance, we could glean from the NPM RDS data set or our other tools available to us. Some of the goals are self-evident. Some, such as I think was pointed out regarding reducing congestion by 10% by every 10 years. And that particular goal was a stretch because we are facing rising traffic levels, but we do believe that with the advanced autonomous vehicles and improved planning mechanisms and improved budgets for tackling free projects, we should be able to start to show some meaningful progress. If people have insights into whether they think these goals are too hard or too weak, that's something we're interested in hearing about in your comments.
Mike had a question earlier about state freight plans and what they're required for. To reiterate, the state freight plans will only be required starting October 1st, 2017, and that will be specific to the National Highway Freight Program apportioned freight funds. You will not need to have, your state will not need to have adopted a state freight plan in order to apply for a nationally significant freight and highway project program grant. The requirements for state freight plans kicks in October 1st, 2017, and it's for the National Highway Portion Fund Program. Just want to make that clear for everyone.
There's a lot of good questions about multi-state corridor projects, some asking, I think, for the formula program and some for the discretionary. We're going to have to cover those in guidance.
The forthcoming notice will explain in greater detail the criteria by which we will evaluate applications for the discretionary program.
Eric Johnson had a question on the National Highway Freight Program. Do intermodal projects need to be developed as federal projects? And does or will USDOT have guidance on best practices for doing this?
That's the 1116, Section 1116 apportion program, and that does follow all Title 23 requirements. So, yes. As to best practices, Eric, I think a question would be what particular aspects of an intermodal project are you curious about? You can always submit questions to our office. All states have a Federal Highway Division office. You can start there or contact. We'll take a look at all of these questions, actually, before we go forward and do further outreach to make sure that we're covering the kind of things that you want to know.
Abby had a question about will the railroads really come to the table when, I believe, creating the multimodal freight network? Will they really come to the table in keeping with the stated multimodal nature of this effort? So the multimodal freight network requires that the railroads are part of that map. It's not at the discretion of the railroads, at least for being on the map. Scott, you
want to? Well, I mean, I don't know if the Class 1's are on the line or the Association of American Railroads are on the line, but if we'll have to wait and see. But, you know, when we did the Recovery Act back in 2009, the railroads came in. And if you look at the top awards there, one was Crescent Corridor and one was National Gateway. So we would certainly hope that they would.
We just got a couple questions about state freight plans, particularly those that were updated following the passage of MAP 21 and are compliant with MAP 21. Yes, you will need to update your state freight plans, but you do not necessarily need to do it all over again. If you updated your plan following MAP 21 and it is compliant with the requirements in MAP 21, many of those requirements carried over to the FAST Act, and so if they're already there, you don't have to redo them. But the FAST Act did institute a couple of new requirements, namely the fiscally constrained list of projects, as well as bottlenecks analysis, that if those aren't currently part of your state freight plan, you will need to update your state freight plan to include those to be compliant with the FAST Act. We're in the process of developing guidance on this, and to give you an idea of our perspective with that guidance, we recognize that many states went through after MAP 21 and updated their state freight plans. Our guidance will really focus on what they would need to do to add additionally to be able to comply with the FAST Act requirements. On the other hand, some states may not have updated their state freight plans or even created state freight plans, so we'd like our guidance to be able to give them kind of what they need to include, as well as some optional elements that they can include. So we're kind of we're trying to fit the entire spectrum. Those that have done a lot of recent work on their state freight plans, along with those who haven't recently done much work. But you don't necessarily need to go through the entire process of redoing your state freight plan if you made one following MAP 21. And we expect that we're working hard on that guidance right now. We recognize that there is a deadline, for the states to have these state freight plans. So it is our intention to get that guidance out to you as soon as possible. We're hoping later this spring to be able to release that.
Are there any more comments or insights that folks have on what we've discussed or anything that hasn't been brought up that you feel like should be brought to the table at this time?
John, I think there's a couple questions about the process for us to collect input to the National Freight Strategic Plan. So could you let them know again what we're putting out for comment and when we're hoping to wrap that up? It looks like people want to comment on the next draft that is FAST Act compliant.
So I think just again to remind everyone, we believe that the draft National Freight Strategic Plan is by and large compliant with the requirements called out for the FAST Act. There may be some questions on emphasis, but in terms of what is discussed and what is covered in the draft plan, that in and of itself I think is compliant with the revised language in the FAST Act. I think it's important to note that there were not overly significant changes in the statutory requirements between MAP 21, which was the original mandate to produce a National Freight Strategic Plan, and the FAST Act itself. I think there's a difference in emphasis and also some slight differences in the freight policy that was codified there as well. So, and specifically, and I think by and large, that biggest change is the recognition of a multimodal system as opposed to a highway system. MAP 21 established a highway freight policy. FAST Act laid out both a highway and a multimodal policy, but the freight plan itself is tied to the multimodal freight policy. So, again, we will be issuing a Federal Register notice here in the days ahead that is going to lay out where we think more input is needed, and where we are hoping to get additional comments from the public. But by and large, I think that plan itself is really kind of the basis and still continues to be the draft of what will ultimately be the FAST compliant National Freight Strategic Plan.
Thanks, John. I also wanted to point out there's an answer to a question here that was provided by one of our colleagues from Federal Highway. Thank you, Steve Klinger, who noted that the cap for critical urban freight corridors is 10% of the primary highway freight system, or 75 miles, whichever is greater. Thank you, Steve, for that clarification.
I'm going to go ahead and close that since we don't have any questions. We've gone through all of our questions, and I don't see anything else coming in. So I think we will go ahead and close it out. A couple people have asked how to get copies of the chat. If you highlight the chat and press Control C on your keyboard, that will copy the chat and you can then paste it into a Word document if you'd like to retain it for the future. The recorded version of this event will be available within the next few weeks on the Talking Freight website. It will contain the entire event, including the chat, so that will be another opportunity for you to capture that information. The next seminar will be held on March 16th, and the topic is still to be determined. Registration is not yet available. I will send out a notice through the Freight Planning Listserv announcing the topic and the availability of registration. I encourage you to join the Freight Planning Listserv if you have not already done so. Thank you again to our presenters and subject matter experts, and to everyone for attending. Please enjoy the rest of your day.
As this concludes today's conference call, you may now disconnect.
At the very, very top.
Yeah.
Cool.
we need to go through. There's a lot of questions.